On this Friday afternoon, let's check in on the commodity markets. With us today, as usual, is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Get ready for the snow. It missed us, but it's heading your way.
You know, it looks like we're going to get some snow, and 50% for this afternoon, and this evening, 100% tomorrow. And I guess that by the time it's done, we could have between 4 and 7 inches, so... time to get the, I'm not going to get a snow shovel out. something with an engine on it. Maybe something bigger from the neighbor with an engine might even be better. We'll see how that goes.
That's right. Have your wife bake him some cookies and take them over there.
Oh, well, she's going to bake. She may as well bake cookies for me. I think so. Hey, what'd you think of the marketplace this week in Chicago? Of course, we had USDA's numbers out. They were consumed pretty quickly, and then we went kind of right back to where we were and turned down.
Yeah, I think the weekly closes tell the story. The wheat led the declines in the grain markets because of the report. And I think also, Todd, we saw some unraveling of the Iranian deal that was made about a month ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. That is unraveling, and new sanctions starting to come out by the White House, probably starting to make people walk back in the trade concerning increased wheat deals and increased demand, because that was one of the things that was looked at as positive once the Iranian deal was struck a few weeks ago. So March wheat down 3.3%. Dease expiration did nothing to help that at all. In fact, December closed down below the August lows, so we made some fresh contract lows. Not a lot of support until you get to just above $6. I think then at midweek it was all about the ethanol and all about the U.S. Senate bill and the mandate being eliminated and that bill coming to fruition. And I say that because just in the last 3 days of the trade, the January ethanol market fell almost 12%. Corn, after making a new dease corn, after hitting the best level since mid-November, by Wednesday afternoon, Thursday was on its way down for a 2% loss. So you had 12% loss in Jan ethanol, 2% loss in March corn at the end of the week. Talked to our colleague Jake Benjamin earlier in the afternoon after the market closed and got his ideas of what the cash ethanol margin lost and from Friday last to the current day. And it seems like we probably lost about 6%, or we went from around 60 cents down to around 53 cents. Still very, very good historical margins, but I think the fact that the ethanol fell like a rock really opened the door to renewed bearish selling in the corn market.
Do you think once they get a handle on what this bill really means that it might bounce back just a bit? It's it's only a three-page bill, and only, I am going to guess, about 40 lines or so. It's not very long, and it simply takes the... It takes everything out of the RFS that does not involve advanced biofuels. And by default, the only thing that really impacts is corn. And it says we're not going to have any mandate at all for 10% blends or whatever blend you want to put in to the gasoline supply, right? So it deals completely with that part of the RFS that is biofuels that are not considered advanced.
Yeah, and this is where it was, you know, at best, I think, in my opinion, and this is what I've talked to clients about, it's probably the most short-sighted thing I can remember in a long time, and probably a bit irresponsible, because if you're going to eliminate that mandate, do you also eliminate the oxygen requirement, and therefore you have to come up with something other than ethanol, and like what ethanol replaced was the MTBE. So it brings the market almost back to square one, because those issues should have been addressed first and foremost as far as what are we going to do to replace the mandate for the advanced biofuels, or are we going to keep the oxygen mandate, and so by default the ethanol will keep on cranking until a new technology comes down the pike. So this is, I think, your question is extremely important to the trade as we go into next week's market, because the ethanol chart is in a free fall. If you look at the January daily ethanol chart, we were earlier this week in the cash markets making, in some areas, all-time highs in ethanol crushing margins, and we saw the USDA bump up the ethanol by 50 million bushels. Now we have to go back almost to square one, and it's even worse than the EPA, because they were talking about cutting it completely and,
right,
like I said, not addressing the oxygen issue. So I'm fearful that the technicals and the futures traders, if they don't get an answer fairly soon, will continue continue to pile on here going into the end of the year.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can resolve some of that problem. Our farm policy specialist here, Jonathan Kappas, I talked to this morning, and I'm sorry I'm not running this afternoon, had taken a look at the Feinstein Senate bill, and that's what it is. It does have bipartisan support. Those senators are from, as you might expect, large livestock production states and or large crude oil production states, one of the two. He says it is a message bill. It has to be reported to Barbara Boxer's committee. And on Wednesday of this week, he reminded me that she simply said of the RFS, she likes it where it is. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to follow through and kind of find out what happens with that bill. Thanks to Jonathan Kappas for being really in the loop on it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. But we'll see how the bill goes and how the RFS goes. And nonetheless, it matters, I suppose, only on how far the downside is, maybe, for the moment, because we're looking at, what, a bigger crop for Argentina for wheat. If you're wanting wheat to lead to the downside, we have a large crop for corn, to go to the downside. I don't know. Soybeans, are they remaining the bright spot in this picture or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, you know, this is where the meal on its expiration in the December contract looked a lot like the July-August meal when it expired and August took over as lead month futures in the middle part of the summer. That spread ended up getting up to over $90 a ton premium to the July meal on a close. Today, right before the expiration, we were running a little over $80 a ton premium in the December market for the meal versus the January, and that makes sense because we're running $50 to $60 over on the cash basis right now for December and January cash meal in the middle part of the country. And if you go back and look at what happened the week after the July meal went off the board, we had a lower opening, obviously, because the August took over as lead month, but that August was able to rally about $40 a ton in that week after the expiration. And so I think that's where beans really picked up the slack today on the close, thanks to the meal. So if we get a nice move in the meal next week, then the beans will probably fight and get back above some technical levels that they probably shouldn't have closed below after the report came out, and especially after the export sales came out. But the weather played some role in the market in the beans this week. It will continue to. I would say maybe to caution producers from getting too excited about the beans is that this may be one of those opportunities to scale up sell if the meal takes over to the upside, Todd, because we do have the Lunar New Year coming in China, and the demand usually slows down pretty dramatically.
We haven't talked about corn yet.
Yeah, corn market, probably biggest thing you've got to watch is if we take out that 420, 425 level that the Dees was able to carve out, that 418.5 low, I believe it was exactly. But we're on our way to that next week in the March as being lead month. If we take that out, then we open up levels probably down towards the $4 level. And some people are talking about the rejected corn from China is going to be talked about at a meeting between some trade people, official trade people, between China and the United States next week. In fact, they're on their way there now from what I'm hearing. So that will be an important element to the puzzle, too.
Anything to add on the livestock before I let you go for the afternoon?
Hogs tried to bottom this week, mm-hmm. I think, Todd, but I think the problem was that the grain market falling on this ethanol bill probably took some premium out of the hogs as well. So we're right on some key technical support on the hogs to be watching.
All right. I will try to send you the audio, Mike, from COPPA so you get a chance to listen to that before we do Commodity Week.
That sounds great.
How about that? Okay.
That sounds great. And good luck with the fund drive. Please give everybody.
Thank you so much, Mike. And we'll talk to you very soon for Commodity Week today.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Mike Zuzalo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon.